Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Welcome to the Thursday edition of Trumpet Radio Live here on 101.3 KPCG. A lot to talk about today. Italy, they're going to pay their youth to not be terrorists. I guess it's like a summer job, sort of. Alarming details about Iran and the nuclear program. A lot more coming out about that. Cheeseburger eating contest. If you like cheeseburgers, I've got a contest for you that maybe you won't like cheeseburgers after. I'm not sure. And social justice college housing options. Yeah, that's the thing. We'll talk about that coming up as well, this edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com as well. This is the Thursday edition. Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon here today. We had a really good thunderstorm yesterday. Last night it was a boomer. I sent out a tweet for those that like to follow us on Twitter at kpcgfm of just before the storm. It was a pretty cool stormy cloud formation. And I sent out the tweet, and I said, "A storm's a brewing." And literally, a minute or two later, that all the sky fell, and we had a lot of rain, a lot of lightning.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of our local listeners can't listen in over the air right now.
Yeah, they are tower. I don't know if it was actually hit, but it was definitely disrupted. But we're online, so that's good. They can't knock us out.
The people who really want to listen will get online.
Get online. It's no big deal. You can use the TuneIn app on your smart device. That's what I did this morning when I got up. I usually turn the radio on, but because of the lightning hit, I used my phone. No problem.
Yeah, it seems like our signal has been hijacked by country music and a couple infomercials.
Yeah, it's a little different when you're trying to hear the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. You hear that. It's a little different story. But not too bad, but we did get some good rain, which we needed, and so that was good. Some localized flooding, as they always have, in certain parts of the city, and it usually kind of dissipates pretty quickly. But the weather guys, they just love to show the video of the people stuck in their cars in the water. And they just, and the poor, I always feel bad for them, because you see them walking around, and they're like, "Well, look at this guy. Well, he's got to drive through the water. He could have easily gone this other route," and they're like pointing where he could have gone, and the guy's standing there, and it's like live footage, and I think, well, come on.
They're probably laughing inside, too.
Yeah.
Oh, this foolish guy, he totally missed the better option there.
It's like, leave the guy alone and send some help. They're trying to show people to not drive into water. I get that, but I feel bad for the people because, you know, you got the helicopter like flying above you, and you know you're being ridiculed. Actually, they did one where they showed the guy driving through the water and he made it, and they're like, "But just wait." And they followed him, and then later his car broke down. They're like, "See what we're talking about?" And he's out there, and there's smoke pouring out of it.
Oh, come on.
I thought, wow, that was deliberate. They followed that guy around.
Not entirely helpful for him.
No. But anyway, they're supposed to, they say, turn around, don't drown. Don't drive into the water. Go the other way, which I guess makes sense. Lots to talk about on today's program. This is breaking news, I guess, in the last few hours here. This SpaceX rocket blows up on pad during test. This was there in Florida, where they shoot a lot of the rockets up. SpaceX was conducting a test firing of its unmanned, thankfully, rocket when the blast occurred shortly after 9 a.m., according to NASA. The test was in advance of a planned Saturday launch from Cape Canaveral Air Force Station, which is next to NASA's Kennedy Space Center. So the thing blew up. I guess it sounded like lightning initially, and then it shook some buildings. Several miles away, even, they felt the blast. They say additional details not immediately available. The rocket was supposed to hoist an Israeli satellite this weekend. It was unclear whether or not the satellite was on the rocket at the time of explosion. So SpaceX builds rockets for NASA, and just seems like we're having a hard time successfully launching rockets these days.
Yeah, that's right. What a letdown, too. So close to launch, a couple days away from launch, and I guess they probably don't even have a backup rocket to send out there.
It's that would be really disheartening. you put all that time, money, and effort into it, and then it just explodes. And you got to go back to the drawing board, I guess, and figure out what went wrong.
Yeah, and poor Israel can't catch a break with their satellite supposed to go on that rocket.
Yeah, for sure. So hopefully for them it wasn't on there, because then you'd lose two things. So that just happened here today. Washington Post headline, this is sort of just shows the world we're living in. 500,000 young Italians are about to receive free money to stay away from terrorism. Get paid to not be a terrorist. That's a new one. Starting mid-September, more than 500,000 18-year-olds living in Italy are eligible to receive vouchers valued at more than $500 each. The vouchers will allow recipients to visit museums for free, go to concerts for reduced prices, or watch movies. And they are doing that to say, hey, come on now, stay away from that terrorism, go to a museum.
Couldn't they get the voucher and still join some terrorist group?
I don't know. You know, if somebody's that determined to get involved in terror activity, I really don't think this is gonna make a difference. Like, they're right on the, you know, should I, shouldn't I? But I really did want to go to that museum for free. I don't think that factors into their thinking.
Yeah, these are people who are swayed to give their lives for their dangerous cause. And a $500 voucher, you said, is what's supposed to sway them away from that.
Yeah, and it's and again, sometimes when they give out those vouchers, you question the actual amount. You're like, well, this is worth $500, but that's besides the point. How about just don't do it because it's wrong and it's a bad idea?
Exactly.
That's a better idea. But so they're trying whatever they can, and I think pretty clearly these attempts won't last long. They're going to have to take some more serious action to prevent terrorism coming into some of those European nations. So I don't think this little thing will do much, and then I would expect to see much more concrete action in the near future.
Some other solutions are a lot less inviting, probably. Keep Muslims out of Italy would be an option, and also fixing families so that these young kids don't feel like joining a radical group.
Yeah, lots of other things they'll probably do there in the near future. This one's kind of interesting on the lighter side here, I guess, unless you're terrified of snakes, then it's not. Some firefighters in Scottsdale, Arizona, they're used to getting snake removal calls. There's a lot of rattlesnakes up there. But they got calls recently for three huge exotic snakes within a month, all in the same area. July 30th, they had to remove a 10-foot albino Burmese python. August 23rd, a 9-foot albino Burmese python. And August the 29th, a 7-foot red-tailed boa constrictor. So, a little unusual. They were wondering where these came from. One resident was taking out the trash one night when he was startled to see one of the enormous snakes at his feet. I can imagine that would be terrifying.
Yeah, maybe a snake smuggler brought him in there. A few fell off the back of the truck.
That's a possibility. But we do have the answer for this. What it turned out to have happened was they were escaping from the same place. The snakes got out of a dental lab. The guy runs a dental lab, and he was trying to redo his snake enclosure at the office. But that didn't work because they got away.
I knew someone messed up.
Yeah.
Plus, whether it's a smuggler or a guy at the dental lab, someone let the snakes get free. They didn't just get there by themselves.
Yeah, I'm sure that wasn't their first thought. Check the local dental labs, and we'll see. Why are there snakes at a dental lab? Is anyone else nervous about that?
How do they get away? Those things are so big. You'd think you'd notice one of those things slithering out the door.
Yeah, you'd think so. You'd think he would have called somebody and said, hey, I got these three snakes. You know, keep an eye out. You would think he would notice they were gone, unless he's got a lot.
Maybe he was afraid that he would be liable for any damage the snakes cause if he gave himself away like that.
Yeah, or, I mean, are they legal? I don't know. I mean, I suppose you could get them. I'm not sure of all the legalities there. There was a story a couple weeks ago from Houston. This guy, it was a really pretty shocking video they had and some pictures. This guy in Houston, Texas, he goes out to his garage. He's going to mow his lawn. And next to his lawnmower in his garage is, of course, about an 8-foot-long alligator. Just sitting there. And he's like, you know, tiptoeing back into his house. And he calls the police, and they call like the alligator rustlers. They come out and got him out of there, and they did. But boy, he was going crazy. You know, they showed the video, and they had like they put that thing around their mouth so they can't bite. But he was going every which direction, knocked everything over in the guy's garage. And I was just thinking, boy, that'd be horrifying. I go out in my garage and I kind of keep an eye out for spiders and snakes, but seeing alligators sitting there, you would not expect that.
Those things are some seriously powerful, too. They come across as lazy sometimes by just basking in shallow water, but they're always just waiting for prey, and then you see how vicious and fast they really are.
Yeah. Anytime I go to the zoo here in Oklahoma City, yeah, I like to stop and take a look at the alligators. You can look down into the pit. It's always funny to think, wow, if I fell in there, that's it. Like, I wouldn't make it out. I'm that close to death looking at these things.
True.
Because you can just, you know, like you said, they go so fast. So anyway, it was pretty interesting footage. I'm sure it's still up on the internet. You don't expect to see an alligator hanging out in a garage in Houston. Maybe in Florida it'd be more common, but Houston seems a little weird.
Well, they have been having some floods. I don't know if that would have much to do with it, but, you know, the alligators could ride the waves right into the city.
Well, that is true. They are not that far away from some water down there. And they made it sound like this wasn't, it was strange, but it wasn't like completely unheard of that they'd see him around. So I guess they probably do have some issues like that occasionally. Got to keep your eye out for the wildlife. Speaking of wildlife, right before you came over here, Grant, I had a battle to the death with a hornet.
Oh.
And I won.
Glad I wasn't here.
But he was, you know, they have like this really strong exoskeleton. And I had, thankfully, I had this heavy object. Sorry for any hornet lovers out there. I had to get rid of him. And I squished him. And I took the thing up, and he was still there. I had to do it like three times. I'm like, what's it going to take to kill this guy? So I finally got him.
Oh, those things, I was punished by those one time years ago when I was weed eating. And one stung me, and I dropped the weed eater. And the second one stung me, and I slapped myself in the face
right. Because
I was so shocked that it got me right in the face. So I was embarrassing and actually injuring myself.
And if people don't know what's happening, they think that guy just lost it.
Yeah, because I was writhing too. I was just wriggling everywhere, trying to dance away the pain, basically.
Wow, those things are ferocious. I got stung by one a couple years, well, about 10 years ago, I guess, or more. Coming out of it was in a basketball hoop. It was in the pole, and we were playing basketball. Some of these things came out, and I got bit, or not bit. I got stung, and it was just always funny because it's very painful, but everyone else thinks it's funny. You know, they're just laughing at you. I'm like, well, what did you want me to do? Like, calmly? You know, of course I'm running around like a crazy person because I got their bite, their, you know, sting in my head.
Yeah, I feel like a few years after it stung me while I was weeding, I got revenge on this entire nest of wasps that was under my parents' deck. I took a baseball and I drilled it first shot,
Wow. Just
blew it into a million pieces. And then I ran full speed screaming a quarter of a mile down the road just until I was sure that they weren't following me anymore.
They're plotting their revenge right now.
Probably. I think I won, but probably not.
You're like Randy Johnson.
I was pretty impressed with myself for a while after that. I was bragging about it. And then I realized, well, you know, it's just one throw in the backyard. It's not a big deal.
That's pretty impressive, though. Randy Johnson, of course, he's that pitcher. Years ago, he was pitching in, I think it was in San Francisco, and a seagull flew in front of the ball, and the seagull exploded.
Just a launch of feathers right into the air. Yeah.
Famous. Like he could throw the ball so hard. So anyway, kind of interesting. When wildlife attacks, you've got to got to hold your ground. Some new details coming out about what's going on in Iran. Is it any surprise to anybody that there's a lot of funny business with this nuclear agreement?
Some people are probably surprised.
Stunned by it? Well, a couple of things. First of all, Iran came out, and this is, of course, Business Insider. They came out today and said that Iran is to build two nuclear plants with Russia. Iran will build two of these power stations with assistance from Russia, according to the head of the Atomic Energy Organization. Now, they've said this publicly, so you can bet there's probably more going on. Operations to build two new nuclear power plants in Bushehr will start on the 10th of September. Mark your calendars. And it will take 10 years for the power plants to be completed. Yeah, of course it will, because that's what they're supposed to say. It says, we will save 22 million barrels of oil per year by building these two power plants. Uh-huh. And which they're concerned about because of their lack of oil in that region. Tongue in cheek, of course. And so they're working with Russia on these, which I think should be nerve-wracking to most people. But the bigger headline here from Fox News today, U.S.-led nuke negotiators allowed inspections loopholes for Iran. So the U.S. and world powers had a secret deal with Iran to allow the Islamic Republic to dodge restrictions in last year's landmark nuclear deal, according to Fox News. They've confirmed. Reuters reported Thursday that the findings are based on information from several officials involved in the negotiations. The full details are set to be published by the Washington-based Institute for Science and International Security as early as today. So we should find out more about this. Iran is not being held to the publicly announced conditions of the deal, which was supposed to allow a decade of inspections and transparency aimed at preventing Iran from developing nuclear weapons. They said exemptions or loopholes are happening in secret, and it appears that they favor Iran. Anybody nervous about that?
I'm a bit nervous about that for sure. I also saw a headline about America possibly owing Iran $1.3 billion in just an interest payment. So we continue with this failed strategy of giving them money at every turn. And now we're clearly not going to be inspecting them like we were supposed to. And I also saw something that I believe their relationship with Russia right now is the first time they've ever allowed a foreign nation to use their bases or something like that.
Right, airstrikes to Syria.
Yeah, that gives you an idea of just how reclusive they are. And yet now Russia's taking advantage of it, and they're a pretty strong alliance against America.
Well, and this should be just make bigger ripples than I'm sure it will. But I mean, you know, the public was led to believe one thing with this agreement, and now it comes out that, oh, there's all these loopholes, by the way, happening in secret, favoring Iran. again, does this concern anyone? Alarm bells anywhere?
Not too long ago, we also found out that, what was it? Something else about, oh, yeah, it would take Iran less time to actually finish developing a nuclear weapon, or it would delay that process less than we thought it would.
Yeah.
And that was something that even we knew the whole time, or our government did, and that was just hidden from the public.
Well, you know, and the thing that's so just weird about all of it is that even if it took 10 years for them to develop something, are people okay with that? Don't destroy the entire world within the next 10 years. But after that, whatever. Why is that okay?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that was being talked about a while ago on the Trump Daily Radio Show, and Stephen Fleury made a really good point. He's like, you know, well, if you've got a five-year-old kid, when they're 15, you know, put this in perspective of your life. 10 years is not very far down the road. So it is, and again, like details are showing, it's not going to be any 10 years. And they're doing things already. Mm-hmm. How can you put a plan in place and then allow Iran to break the plan? There is no plan. There is no deal. All you've done is surrendered. Because whether people think the plan is good or not, they're not even being held to it. So it's irrelevant.
So it's going to take them way less time than the plan would even dictate, the plan that we're not even holding them to at all, because that would probably irritate them, and we're just so afraid of frustrating Iran in any way. We have pretty much all the leverage in that situation and don't have to give them a single thing. We could say, look, you listen to us or we'll end you, and that would be it.
Well, the other thing too is it's always so bizarre to me when you talk about, say, owing Iran money. For what? how many people have they killed with terrorism? Don't they owe somebody something? Mm-hmm. Owe them money. Come on.
It's amazing, too, because they're probably our biggest enemy right now. We should just say, well, whatever debts we might have, we're not paying them.
Well,
simple as that. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, I mean, they've come out and certainly attacked our ships there in international waters. Attacked. I mean, they ran at them with some dinghies, but still, that did a job, I guess, scared us. And then, they've come out even recently. There's headlines saying, you know, well, they would welcome war with the United States. Well, okay.
They would, because they have a crazy belief system that would push them into that, and they believe that if they get annihilated, it's going to speed the return of their Messiah.
Yeah, and which is, you know, is what they believe, and that's pretty public information. So really just some crazy stuff going on there, and I'm sure you'll hear a lot more about that in the days ahead on the Trump Daily Radio Show and the Trumpet Hour Week in Review as well. So those are some of the events that are happening today, pretty startling, particularly with Iran. A couple of stories here from the Of Course This Is Happening segment. You know, cheeseburgers are good. People like cheeseburgers. Why not just eat a lot more cheeseburgers? That's a question we've all asked, probably.
There's no reason not to.
The story says, how quickly can you eat a cheeseburger? How about two or three? Better yet, what about nine?
Oof.
Yes, nine burgers on one bun. That's the challenge being presented by Wayback Burgers.
I saw that. That sounded really familiar when we were talking about it before the show. They have a poster probably 3 feet, 4 feet tall, and the burger is not really much larger than life size on the poster, and it fills up the entire length.
It is a huge burger.
It is.
The Connecticut-based chain has announced a one-day event simply deemed the triple challenge. You can't go much beyond one day, I guess. This is a one-time shot. They say that's not a typo, but if you can chomp this monster down faster than the other competitors, you get $3,300.
Worth it. Pay your medical bills too.
Yeah, exactly. however, they say it won't be easy or heartburn free. That's because the quote unquote sandwich comes with 9 patties and 9 slabs of cheese, hence the triple moniker, and add in some tomato and lettuce for good measure, because of course you want to keep it healthy, and that's the challenge. So if people, I do not recommend it, but for those that can't help at least look at it, it's a Wayback Burger, which I'm not familiar with them. They're not in this area, but they must be around somewhere.
I think there's one out on, it's like Broadway and 33rd.
Oh, okay.
I saw it a couple weeks ago, and I took my brother and my wife there. So,
okay.
But yeah, I didn't know about it until then. I saw the poster, and I said, are you kidding me? That's tempting to just bring it home, not even be a part of the challenge, but just spend a lazy day and then just take your time, finish the whole thing.
You know what would be a great joke? You invite some people over for dinner. And you buy a couple of those and you bring it out. And of course, you're actually going to split it because it's so big. But you don't tell them that. You
just act like it's totally
bring out a couple
too.
Of plates and say, here you go. Just set it there and act like it's normal. Just see what they do.
Watch their face.
Yeah, you never know. You know, you might be surprised. Be like, oh, thanks. And somebody just eats the whole thing.
I know a few guys who would react very positively to that.
Yeah, there's some guys that can really, really put it away. And I'm sure they'll be out there at the Wayback Burgers, a triple challenge. triple challenge. You can't just, and it's not just a matter of finishing it. You've got to be faster than everybody else.
That's the hard part.
So how would you even go about it? Like, you wouldn't be able to open your mouth wide enough to, maybe you could squish it down. I don't know.
Yeah, I hope they're at least allowed to take it apart to eat it. A lot of those eating challenges, they douse it in these cups of water, which it looks really gross. Like, you just totally ruin a hot dog by soaking it in water before you eat it, but I guess it condenses it in your stomach.
Yeah. I could see people doing this and then on the car ride home saying, I've made a horrible mistake.
The worst one of my life.
The worst one of my life. When I was in grade school and we were riding to school, they'd always play the school lunch menus on the radio for the different schools, and they had like this soundbite they'd always play when somebody was having burgers that day. It always made me laugh. It was this guy, and he'd say, burger. So that's what I thought of when I read this. I thought of the burger thing. So
a little weirdo.
Yeah, it was weird, but for some reason, it's something I've always remembered, and I thought it was funny. I always look forward to it. I'm like, oh, here comes the burger thing. So anyway, you know, we've got to get you going on like a food segment, because you did the Waparito for us. You have been to the Wayback Burgers, so
yeah, it has a very simple menu, only about maybe 6 things, and they're all presented in large picture form.
Yeah,
and that's ideal.
Get rid of the confusion.
Yeah, keep it simple. Get good at the few things that you actually do serve.
Well, yeah, there's probably a lot of wisdom in that, because sometimes menus are confusing or there's so many options you don't even know what you're looking at. But so anyway, that's going on. Here's another one from the Of Course This Is Happening segment. Our friend Colin Kaepernick is back at it.
Yes.
He, of course, the 49ers quarterback for now. I mean, I don't even know. Has he been playing this year?
He couldn't even beat out Blaine Gabbert for the starting quarterback job.
Okay, so he's not great.
No,
he's a fast runner, but he's not great with the actual throwing the football, which I think is important for quarterbacks.
Probably,
from what I understand. but anyway, he's had this protest going on. He won't stand up for the national anthem and all this. Made some very inflammatory comments about police. Well, you know what he also likes to do? He goes to practice and he has some special socks that he wears. He's been wearing these special socks, and there's pictures of them on the internet. And they have cartoon pictures of pigs' faces with police hats on them. That's his practice gear.
How do his teammates even tolerate that? I mean, That's cause for a beatdown in the locker room, isn't it? I mean, what else does a guy have to do to get destroyed by his teammates?
Well, I could see him being cut from the team. I mean, it's just so much negative attention. And those teams, at the end of the day, they want to win games. That's what they're there to do, and that's how they get paid. And they may have some social, you know, leanings one way or the other, and that is their right, I suppose. But when they make it such a spectacle like this, it hurts the whole team, and management's not going to tolerate that for long, I don't think.
Yeah, and it's actually interesting because he's bringing so many racial aspects into football, which should be free of these things. You know, a lot of the linemen who protect him are white, and they could just easily step out of the way and say, "Hey, take on these five guys who are blitzing you. Let's see you enjoy those hits every time."
Well, he's really just I think kind of taking it. I think he took it too far initially, but now it's getting even further. I mean, what's his big problem here? You know, and doing something like this is just I think it's offending a lot of people, and rightfully so. Especially the police officers. I mean, here's a fellow that, again, he makes pretty good money, and because of that, he's got some possessions and some things. Does he want to just walk down a street that's in a bad part of town with all of his flamboyant jewelry and so forth without police protection? I don't think he'd do well. Sadly, now that's just the state of our society, unfortunately. But to be so against the police. Well, they protect a lot of people. It's just a bad decision on his part.
Who is he going to call if someone breaks into his house or breaks into his car? Is he going to call a gang member? I mean, is that his superior alternative to the police?
Yeah, he's catching flack from a lot of people. He's catching flack even from just people questioning his race even.
Yeah.
So he's just I think he's just really miscalculating everything. He's taken this big stand, but again, I don't even know, because there's already articles appearing saying, oh, well, would anybody pick him up when he's cut? Because they already think he's going to be gone. You can't have a malcontent on a team. I don't care what his issue is. If he's just causing division and he's divisive and he's making this big spectacle about himself, if I was a starting quarterback, I'd say, you haven't earned the right to do anything. You're not even the starter on this team. Just sit down there.
Exactly.
You want to start your own blog on the side or something and talk about social justice. That's your business. But if I'm the starting quarterback, stop drawing attention to yourself. This is about winning this game today.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, if you're just looking at it from even just a football perspective.
Yeah, what he's doing is very selfish, and it's bringing all the attention to him. And I've heard a lot of commentators speculate that because maybe he was on the verge of being cut from the team anyway, now if they cut him, it's because of his political beliefs. And I wonder if the media is even still praising him after they've seen his socks.
Yeah, it's getting harder and harder to kind of stand up for him as far as the media, which they kind of jumped to his defense initially, but now they're kind of backing off. So anyway, of course that's happening. Of course he's wearing those socks. It's just an embarrassment and a shame. And I don't think you need to pull a lot of punches talking about that. That's just ridiculous.
His teammates shouldn't pull any literal punches either.
well, that's an internal matter, but in any event.
I don't need to say a thing about it.
In any
just
event.
Deal with it on the team.
Yeah, just offensive to the police, who do really help a lot of people. So that's a sad thing, I think. Some of the things that were happening in the world there. And here's one of the shows that's coming up today on a KPCG, the Key of David program. One of them is talks about the mystery that would be finished. That's one of the programs today. It's talking about a particular book, Mystery of the Ages, and that's a free book at thetrumpet.com. We weren't able to get that for quite a few years, and now it is available again. And, of course, there's a court case involving that. If you need more information on that, you can get Raising the Ruins. That's at thetrumpet.com as well. And then, of course, this book, Mystery of the Ages. Listen for this program, this Key of David, The Mystery That Would Be Finished. So that's coming up here in a little bit. Also, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host, Stephen Fleury from Edstone, England, talking about lies, lies, and more lies today. Kind of talking similar to what he was talking about yesterday. Just the unbelievable spirit of lying that's going around in this country and the world, but particularly here in the U.S. at this time.
It's telling that there are so many lies going on that he has to speak about it in more than one program in a row because he couldn't cover them all in one episode.
I have I've got a couple of books that are pretty interesting that chronicle some of the lies that have come out of, say, the current administration, and they are large volumes, and they're not. It's not like there's a lot of fluff in there. It's just like one lie to the next, to the next, to the next. And Stephen Fleury mentions on the Trump Daily Radio Show how the current administration claims to be the most transparent in history. And that's not the case. as he points out, and he's got some great quotes from some writers. I mean, he's just quoting what some of the media are saying. And again, these aren't like left-wing, you know, right-wing blogs. These are not conservative-type blogs or whatever. This is just people talking and writing about what's going on. And they say the current administration does release a lot of information, but it's only information that makes them look good. That's called propaganda. I mean, that's like the Nazis saying they're the most transparent government in history. Well, they'll tell you a lot of things, but not, you know, it's propaganda.
Right.
It's not the truth.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much you say. If it's not the truth, well, what difference does it make?
Yeah, they're hostile to a free press, which doesn't really matter that much because the press is so much on their side. It's just how can people be so okay with being lied to over and over and over again and still support that type of administration? And I think a big part of it is because this entire society glorifies and glamorizes lying in all types of TV programs, and it also can help careers take off. I mean, if you tell a lie at the right time, so it's like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to lie in this situation, but when it can really benefit me, I'm going to tell a lie. So they don't really care too much if the leadership is doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's sort of ends justifies the means mentality. Well, we need to do this, so it doesn't matter how we get there. But as is brought out in the Trump Daily Radio Show, lying's a sin, actually, according to the Bible, according to God. So if anyone's interested in that, that's that's something to consider.
That should be the...
Might consider this one aspect of it.
The end point of all these arguments about what the Obama administration is doing. Are they lying? Yes. Okay. That's the end of it.
That's and like we even talked about in the headlines today, I mean, this Iran deal, they're finding out that... Oh, there's loopholes, by the way. Loopholes... You mean a lie.
Lie holes.
Yeah. I mean, you can call it a loophole or you can call it, you know, whatever they said. I forget what they said. Favoritism or something like that. Exemptions and loopholes. Mm. Well, those are lies.
Yeah, especially
exemptions
when,
and loopholes.
When we don't find out about it until way after the fact, what's the motivation behind that? Was it to deceive? Was it to hide certain information?
Yeah.
That is also a form of lying.
Yep. So anyway, really, really great program today. Lots of really good quotes on there and really highlights just what's happening here in the U.S. And it's pretty shocking. So make sure you listen for that Trump Daily Radio Show. And if you can't catch it live or one of the replays, you can find the archives at kpcg.fm and listen to those when you get a chance to do so. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, take a look at progressive students get social justice themed housing option. So that's something. We'll talk about that right after this on Trumpet Radio Live.
We'll be right back to Trumpet Radio Live.
Greetings, I'm Ryan Malone, host of Music for Life. And did you know how much influence William Shakespeare had on music history? We are going to explore that in our next episode, the vast array of operas, ballets, orchestral, and vocal works that were inspired by his plays and writings. In our Sounds of Scripture segment, we're going to see how Shakespeare himself was heavily influenced by the Bible, particularly its poetry. And in our Classroom Corner segment, we will explore what music education was like back in the Middle Ages and the Renaissance. So join me to experience what the Bard himself called the touches of sweet harmony on our next episode of Music for Life, The Shakespearean Influence.
This Monday at 4 p.m. Central on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. You can follow us on Twitter if you'd like to, at kpcgfm. We'll send out some programming information and an occasional picture, like I sent out yesterday, from the studio windows. And if you'd like to email us, you can do that, comments@kpcg.fm. We'll be happy to take a look at those for you. Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon with you here today. Chipotle, Mexican restaurant, they've had some problems because of some, what did they, it was the illness that came from the restaurant.
Right.
Anyway, they're trying to win back their customers again. The burrito chain said Tuesday that it will offer two new promotions during the month of September, one for college students and another for families. Their new promotion targets mom and dad, offering them a free kids meal when they purchase an adult entree. The chain will also give high school and college students who present a valid school ID a free drink with the purchase of an entree. So they're trying to get you back to Chipotle. I've been there once or twice. I always thought it was pretty good. But then when people start dying, you're like, well, I'm going to pass. I'm going to try the triple cheeseburger.
I always, for a long time, wondered what the difference was between Chipotle and Qdoba. And it's like, well, I guess that's not happening with Qdoba right now. So maybe that's the better choice.
I remember years back when Jack in the Box had their problems. And it takes a long time for you to trust them. Because every time you'd see it, you think, oh, I remember somebody died there one time. Like it just that's hard to live down.
Right.
So anyway, if you want to take a chance on that, there's some freebies there.
Both of those promotions avoid me though. I don't have any kids, and I'm not a college student, so I actually feel alienated by Chipotle because of this.
Mm.
It's rather triggering.
You might say. You're going to be okay for the rest of the segment here?
I'm boiling.
He's boiling, folks. This is an interesting write-up you've got for us. Things that are going on that just kind of keep happening, which are surprising, I guess. Progressive University of North Dakota students get social justice-themed housing option. So what exactly is this all about?
Yeah, it turns out my triggering comment was actually a pretty good segue, even though I didn't mean it to be.
You were being triggered and segueing at the same time.
Yeah. Well, basically, the University of North Dakota is offering a housing community focused entirely on social justice. So anyone who...
I just can't wait to hear what this is. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. So anyone who... wants to live in an inclusive community the support group for the GLBTQQIA community. I don't know. It's alphabet soup. I guess this is just a bunch of people with mental illnesses all congregating in one place.
They keep adding letters to whatever that is.
And it doesn't even explain in the whole article what those are. So the whole time I'm just intrigued by the meaning.
They're setting up special housing. It's an option. So if you feel like you would be persecuted somewhere else, then everyone can pile into this. Is that the gist of what they're trying to do? Or
'cause, yeah.
So I just don't understand social justice. So you can't be there if you infringe upon somebody's feelings, I guess, in some fashion?
Right.
Okay.
So, for example, we would get kicked out after about a minute of walking inside the door. That's kind of how these communities work, I guess.
But there is no way they're going to get along with each other.
No. They're a bunch of...
What are the rules? And then how do you know if you've infringed the... Like, how do you... It's just this quagmire of feelings.
Yeah.
And how are you going to live with somebody and not hurt their feelings at some point? Especially with all these, like, just different lifestyles. This seems like a disaster, but it also seems like a reality show that should be filmed.
Yeah, it sounds like they're just a bunch of precious snowflakes who will be competing for chief victimhood in these housing projects. And basically, it's going to cause a lot of division because who's the most oppressed group in society? They're going to have to fight it out.
Right. Yeah. I just don't see how they're going to get along with each other. So people have to sign up for this if they feel like they fit into one of these categories, and then they hope to get into this. It's like a special dorm there at the college, at the University of North Dakota.
Yeah. The only thing students need to do to be considered for this this special social justice living learning community is to indicate interest on their residence hall application. I guess the University of North Dakota also has four other living learning communities, but note how different these are from the social justice ones. These are living learning communities for people interested in aviation, people interested in engineering and mines, and then wellness, and then honors, or people, I guess, with high grades. And then you have one that's about social justice. One of these things is not like the others.
It's an IQ test. Maybe it's just an IQ test for incoming students.
Yeah.
Which one of these do you want to be in?
I saw so many hilarious comments about this. People were asking, I wonder how many STEM students are going to be in this worthless part of housing, because they're not going to learn anything. They're just there to protest and be victims. They're not going to be good at science, technology, engineering, or math. So
yeah,
it's a pretty good point. And then another one said, the only phrase they'll need to be taught for life after college is, do you want fries with that? Because they're not going to accomplish much for a higher level job after college.
Yeah, it would be tough to focus on some sort of educational goal if you're just constantly in this mentality of I'm a victim. I'm looking for ways that people are offending me. That's a tough way to live. It's a pretty depressing way to live, actually.
It is, and these people are really, it's like you have to walk on eggshells around them, because they're just a second away from being triggered and offended by pretty much nothing at all. At the same time, it seems to contradict itself, because this community says it believes that each person shares the responsibility of creating an environment in which all residents are respected and valued, regardless of one's age, size, gender, sexual orientation, identity or identity expression, disability, race, ethnicity, color, creed, national origin, cultural background, socioeconomic status, or religious affiliation or conviction. Going down to the comments, it said, so you're accommodating for every group except for straight white conservative males, because that's how it always turns out.
Well,
you never see a society and say, well, this is an all minority community. It needs more diversity.
Right.
But whenever it's perceived as too white, too conservative, too Christian, too male dominated, that's when diversity needs to be added in.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the one thing that they would all these different groups would have in common. And you see this sometimes when people are out there having a protest of some kind. They have different things that they're upset about, but in most cases, they take all their frustration and anger out at one group, and that is white males.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the spirit of the age. And so this situation here at University of North Dakota, which is kind of a funny university to do it at, I don't think of that as being a particularly liberal hotbed, but maybe
exactly.
It is.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of the aim of a lot of the education at some colleges as well. It's an attack against white males, traditional Christian values, anything within that realm. That's kind of made out to be the enemy. And so, even though these groups have all these different ideas and they're upset about everything, they point their blame and their anger back at that one basic group. And really, what they're doing, even though they kind of probably are somewhat general about who they're mad at, they don't want the law of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it comes down to. Anything that talks about law and something being right and something being wrong, that's out the window,
mm-hmm.
as far as I can tell.
Right, because it's bigoted to say that marriage has been the same way for thousands of years and there's no need to change it now. Examples like that, where it's not that Christians hate or Christians or whites or males or conservatives hate other groups of people. They just have different beliefs that have been really the commonly held beliefs for thousands of years for most people. But now it's unacceptable because it does run contrary to some of these more radical groups, as if, a religion should morph every time culture decides to popularize another new fad.
Yeah, it's I think kind of a scary time to be an impressionable 18-year-old student going into one of these colleges, because you're going to get hit with a lot of stuff. And if you don't have a good foundation as to what you believe or why you believe it, people are going to get swept up in this, which I think is what happens with a lot of people. You see some of these protests against whatever. And actually, I saw one video where it was a legitimate news station that was out there. It was in San Francisco. And they went to this park where people were protesting, and they just said, well, what are you guys protesting? And nobody knew. They're like, well, we haven't decided yet. They were forming their like statement. They hadn't decided yet. So somebody was against, the 1%. Somebody was against oppression. Somebody was for the people, like very general. But they were all there, and they were going to stay there until they were heard. But they didn't know why they were there. And that's just like some of these university cliques that they're forming.
Isn't it amazing how little logic there is in so many of these protest groups as well? Like protesting the 1%. If you took all the money from the 1% and gave it to the other 99%, they'd all have like a few extra dollars per year, pretty much. I mean, it's not like it would make a big dent. But people, I guess, they don't like to do math.
Well,
they don't like to consider that, oh, well, maybe taking all the money from this guy who's actually earned it wouldn't benefit me that much. They think that it would make all the difference in the world for every group. And these housing developments on this campus are also a bit strange as well, because they can get remarkably specific about who their roommates are. And some other people in the comments were saying, well, this sounds like just an excuse for a guy to live with a girlfriend whenever that would be disallowed otherwise. Because it's just you can handpick your roommates and they have to also handpick you, or else you can't live together. Like, if you have to be that sure that the people you're living with won't offend you in any way.
Yeah, the irony, of course, in it all is that by trying to be this completely, you know, inclusive group, they exclude anybody that doesn't agree with them. So they're not what they claim to be. Because if you're going to say, well, I won't live with, you know, room with anybody except for this person, well, that's they would be against that if it was, say, a white male saying, well, I'd prefer to room with this other white guy because we're on the football team or whatever. They'd say, well, yeah. We need more diversity. but you're doing the same thing on the other side. Anyway, I think it's just one of those things where you just shake your head after a while. If you want to read the rest of that, it's Progressive UND Students Get Social Justice-Themed Housing Option. Yes, that's actually happening at colleges. And those aren't cheap colleges either. You got to pay a fair bit to go be part of that social project.
And a lot of people are taxed heavily, and this is what some of the money is going toward, so that people can go here, be insulated from any sort of dissenting opinions for 4 or 6 or however many years, graduate, and then have no useful real-life skills or ability in dealing with people.
Right. And dealing with people is a big, big part of success in life. Here's a good story about school. A lot of times we highlight some of these just bizarre ones because I think it is just important to see what's going on. But there are some good stories out there. This one is from Fox News. It says, meet the public school that loves America. They actually like America. They like their country, which is odd today. They say it seems like every day there's a news story about a school banning the American flag or a second-rate professional football player hating on the U.S. That's what they wrote. So taking a shot there.
Boom.
Taking a shot. It says, these days it's not politically correct to say that you are proud to be an American. The author says, so you can imagine my delight when a reader told me about a group of patriots at a Michigan middle school just a stone's throw from the Muskegon River. Boys and girls at Big Rapids Middle School gathered around the flagpole on Monday, the first day of the new school year. A trumpeter played as they raised a crisp new American flag, and then a huge crowd of students and teachers began reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. Overwhelming is how Principal Mitch Cummings described the patriotic moment. Video of the ceremony was uploaded to social media, and it spread across the fruited plain faster than Paul Revere on a midnight ride. So he's quite descriptive here in his story. Military veterans called and said how much pride they had and how they felt appreciated by that simple gesture, Principal Cummings told the author. And so they said, we just duplicated what we do on military installations at the official start of the duty day. Said the sixth grade geography teacher that was involved with this. It's very moving, very patriotic moment. So pretty neat to see some people actually say, you know what, we like our country and we're going to give proper respect to the flag and to those that have served to defend it.
Yeah, to say that America is the greatest nation in the world today is offensive to so many people. Yet when you step back and look at it and you have the right perspective, you realize it's not based on any man's good deeds. It is from the blessings of God, and it's good to acknowledge that and get back to how this country was founded on even just biblical principles, even though some of them were not the most religious men.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And of course, for those that are familiar with some of what is in the Bible, there is of course a warning too that if you forget where those blessings came from, then they'd go away.
And we see that happening.
We do see that happening all over. So really, really good to see an example here. And we do try to highlight some of the positive ones, too, that come out of people that are standing up and saying, you know, actually, we do love America. We love our country. And that's okay. It's okay to do that.
It
to,
is.
To love your country.
Usually that gets a lot better of a response than sitting down during the national anthem. So at least some people do still have some pride, even though that's not what we see from a lot of the mainstream media.
Yeah, they said it teaches respect for our nation and our flag. This was the teacher there at the school. When you see the flag flying, you think about the sacrifices of those who have gone before to give us the freedom to either say the pledge or not say the pledge. And but yeah, you just think about these young people that are involved in this, and I'm sure there's, you know, some of them are more interested in it than others. But if you bring somebody up just respecting the country that they live in this case, the United States, how likely is it that they're going to run off and start committing crimes or join terrorism or, get into problems in their neighborhoods? Not very likely, because they're taught to actually respect their surroundings and take care of it instead of just sitting down and protesting or screaming or you know, causing problems. So I think that's the good that comes from these types of things that they're trying to do there at some of these schools.
Yeah, crimes do undermine the greatness of the nation. Whenever you put them all together and you realize all the problems we're dealing with because people don't stay within the bounds of the law, it does weaken the nation in a huge way. And getting away from God and his law is a big reason why the nation is falling now.
So kind of a good story there out of Michigan. If you want to read more about what's going on here in the U.S., you can get America Under Attack. That's a free book at thetrumpet.com, and it's a really popular one because it's very important for right now. One last thing to talk about today, save you a little bit of money here, hopefully. 5 mistakes you're making when you're buying gas. So gas has been cheap lately, so people haven't thought about it too much. But they have 5 points here that are kind of good for getting the best deal you can when buying gasoline. Number one, they say we're not shopping around enough. We're creatures of habit. 75% of respondents in Gas Buddy's survey say they have a station they go to just because it's convenient. But you could be saving up to 70 cents a gallon in some places, depending on going to a different station. Or 20 to 30 cents is probably a little more within the range. But yeah, you do see that. You see some stations that are a little cheaper than others.
Yeah, and sometimes those prices do change from day to day. I wonder if there's a website that compares them side by side day to day. That would be extremely useful.
Yeah, there's the second one here. They say we're not filling up when we see a good price. They say when you see a good price, that's a good time to fill up. So
even if you're 3/4 full, take advantage of the low price.
Take advantage. They say number three, we're treating our cars to premium gas. Consumers feel like treating themselves and their cars to more expensive fuel, but there is no point filling up with premium unless your car requires it, according to this author. This is the difference between regular and premium gas has increased over the past year in terms of a price, but they say it's usually just a recommendation. Sometimes that you need premium, you don't always need it, so I never use it.
That's the one thing on the list I have never done. I've never used premium gas. The other ones I've messed up every time, pretty much.
And this is one's interesting to me, and I hadn't thought about this. They said we're not paying in cash. Nearly 90% of consumers pay for gas with credit cards, but you won't get the cash discount of 10 to 15 cents per gallon if you pay with plastic. I didn't know you'd save money paying by cash.
Had no idea about that.
Yeah, maybe it depends on the station. I might need to ask about that. It is kind of a convenience thing. It's easy to just jump out and use your card and not to go in and talk to somebody.
Yeah, I wonder like how the meter works as well, because sometimes you see the numbers continuing to climb and then it clicks closed, or the gas clicks off and then the numbers go a second longer. Whereas if you gave them a $20 bill, it would have to stop right at $20.
Well, that's true too. Yeah, so anyway, that's, it might be something to look into. They say you can save a 10 to 15 cents per gallon, which that would be a
Doubt it could do that much after the gas clicks off. So
yeah,
probably it does have to do with them actually appreciating you using cash.
Yeah, I think, well, a lot of times if a store uses a credit card, they have to pay a little bit of a fee for that service. Sometimes that pays in there. So anyway, that could be a savings. And the fifth one, they say we're not getting cash back for our purchases. If you don't have a credit card that offers at least 1% to 3% cash back on money spent on gas, you're losing out. So they talk about certain credit cards that you can use that will give you the cash back. I do that. I am on board with that because you're going to buy it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you pay it off right away off of your card, you get, you know. Well, and they always give you an extra percent back on gas. You get extra cash back on gas and food purchases, at least with the card I have. some of those necessities that they know you're going to get, they want you to use their card. So they, but I don't know. I mean, if you do, you save more paying in cash versus what you get back on the card? You'd have to kind of do the math if it means that much to you. But anyway, you might save some bucks.
Wow, I like it. I don't have a credit card yet. I keep trying to get one. It seems impossible right now. So
you've been rejected.
I know, so many times.
Once you start getting them, they don't stop. They just keep coming.
Good.
They give you more and more and more and more. So yeah, I remember actually the first credit card I got. Yeah, I had to get a secured credit card. I had to put a couple hundred bucks on the card to secure it. And then once you start getting your credit reputation out there, then they'll give you whatever you want. Car for free, no problem. Get out of here. Just make your payments.
I just wonder how long it takes because I've been paying all my bills on time. It's just kind of at what point do they trust a person?
Yes, starting out in life. That's always a
dumb millennial me, though. That's probably why.
So anyway, those are some things that can help you if you're trying to save a little bit of money on gas. And of course, we've been fortunate, I guess, in a sense, because the prices have been lower. I know it affects other parts of the economy in a negative way, but gas can go back up, so it's always good to pay attention. And then you regret that Humvee you bought. Why do I have this thing? For those who have it, I don't. But for those that have those vehicles, they can be pretty expensive to fill up.
You could drive through a flood with that, probably.
Yeah, that's right. Probably that's the one thing you could do.
Full circle.
Yeah. So come all the way back to the beginning. Here we always wrap up the loose ends. Thanks for joining us today on Trumpet Radio Live. That'll do it for us. Myself, Dwight Falk, and Grant Turgeon. Have a great rest of your Thursday, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We're online, kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.